Hey guys.
Hey.
We're back again.
Yep, it's Mandy.
And Doug.
With Legends and Liquor.
And you didn't have to wait a couple months for the next episode.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm proud of us.
I am too. I wanted to do this a little bit earlier, but, you know, life happened again. But, you know, only a couple days off now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't promise it on a certain day. We just said we were aiming for weekly. So I feel like we're still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's less than 14 days in between episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So we are the podcast who reviews alcohol.
Yeah.
And we tell stories.
Yep. I think they already know that.
I know. Well, I mean, in case... They do the stupid, you know, on Apple Podcasts where they play the most recent and then go backwards. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to...
Yeah, gotcha.
Just a blur. Just
okay.
A blur, you know. Okay.
So what are we drinking?
We are drinking Elysium Space Dust, the IPA by the brewery Elysium.
Woo!
And it's really good.
It is really good.
Yeah, this is one of the first IPAs that I really liked.
It's very hoppy.
Yeah.
So if you don't like hops, don't buy it.
Yeah, don't buy it.
But if you do like hops, it's delicious.
Pretty reasonably priced. It was about $12 for the six pack.
Yeah, that's not that bad. And you get a lot of bang for your buck because, let's see, it's...
I want to say 8.2 ABV?
For 8.2, yeah.
8.2 ABV?
Yeah. So, it packs a punch. Let's just put it that way.
And I'm going on my second one, so this should be a fun podcast.
Woohoo! And it's got a cute little, like, hop throwing up stardust.
Yeah.
I think that's what that is.
And I saw on their Facebook page, they actually have a pumpkin spice one.
Ooh.
And you're supposed, or not supposed to, but there's an option where if you mix half of space dust with whatever their, I think it's like night owl, I want to say.
I think I've heard
I'm not
that
sure.
One.
If you mix those together, that's supposed to be like a, try that out.
Okay.
So we should, you know,
try
get
that
six
out.
Of each, and, you know, we could each have one.
Hey.
Not a big pumpkin spice fan, but I'd be interested.
I like pumpkin stuff. I mean, I like pumpkin. I like pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin flavored things.
I like pumpkin seeds. That's about it.
I like pumpkin seeds, too. He ain't that basic, though. He's not going to have his pumpkin spice latte frappuccino.
I mean, if you bought me one, I'd drink it, but I'm not going to go out of my way for it.
I gotcha. Well, I'd be willing to try it, so.
All right.
Let's try it.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we have Space Dust, and it is quite good.
I really like it.
This is one of my favorite IPAs.
Yeah, it really is. It's a good one. I mean, you can find it in a lot of stores.
Yeah, this was at Food Lion.
Yeah, Food Lion, Publix, a lot of grocery stores will actually have it. So if you want a nice craft beer that's got a pretty high alcohol content, and is, you know, easy to find, this one's a really good one.
Yeah.
Do you know where their brewery is?
I looked it up with my friend at work, and I believe it's Washington.
Hmm. Okay.
I can look it up now, actually.
Hey, I'm going to read you the,
Okay, do that while I'm looking it up.
Yeah, the description on the bottle says, the hopping is pure Star Glow energy with Chinook to bitter and late and... dry additions of Citra and Amarillo. I did not understand any of that. It's all good. Yeah, it's Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington.
And Fairfield, California, and Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Let's go with Washington.
Yeah.
Shout out to Washington.
Woohoo! Yeah, so Elysian Space Dust IPA. It is delicious.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites, especially that we reviewed on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I love beer.
This is my favorite beer that we've reviewed so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. All right, so that's our alcohol for the week. What story? It's Doug's turn.
Yeah, my turn. So if you are squeamish, turn it off.
Skip to next week. It probably won't be that gross.
Just mute it so we get to listen. So, I have for you,
eep,
What does William Peter Blatty mean to you?
Nothing.
All right. Some of you out there might know what I'm talking about. I am talking about the 1973 movie and the 1971 book, The Exorcist. Yeah.
So you're just talking about the movie and the book?
No.
Okay.
I am not.
So what's the name? How does that tie in? Is that the guy who wrote the book?
I'm working...
Did you hear my voice crack just then?
I did. Are you going through puberty?
God, I hope not. It wasn't that fucking fun the first time around. I really wouldn't want to do it again.
I don't know. They say third time's a charm, so you got one more before then.
Yeah.
So let's just...
That is an experience I only want to... I don't even want to live once, actually. If I could have just skipped fucking puberty and gone straight to adulthood, I would have. Unfortunately, like, almost none of us have that choice. So.
Mine was all right.
You didn't have that awkward of a phase, though. You've seen pictures of me from middle school.
Well, I just stayed awkward.
It was bad. No, you don't even know. You didn't reach that point with, like, just short and dumpy and... bad. Just bad. Anyways.
Okay.
Keep going. Sorry.
So, I am going to be talking about the movie.
Okay.
But...
Oh, wait. Is this the guy in the scene who killed people?
We're getting there.
Okay, sorry.
This is going to be... Let me take you back.
Okay.
To 1949.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my parents was born in 1949.
Okay.
Mom.
Hmm.
She's the older one.
Okay. Same.
40 years before I was born.
All right.
In 89. See that map?
You just dated yourself.
Yes, I did. I'm 30. Hooray. We're going to have to change our description. It says 220-somethings.
Yeah, well, you're...
I'm no longer a 20-something.
Well, you're your dirty 30s. It's all right. It's all right. We have a podcast.
Yeah. Life goals.
Woo!
Woo! Okay.
So, going back to 1949, to a town called Cottage City, Maryland. Now, the Jesuits have put a pseudonym for this man, Roland Doe. That's the most common. I'm not sure if his real name is Robbie Mannheim.
Sounds like Roland Doe.
Yeah, I like it. And that's the name I'm going to be talking about for a while.
Okay.
But this is the story that William Peter Blatty based his novel on.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about the movie, too, because I like the movie.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that, too.
Well, you only got 30 minutes, so...
All right.
Chop, chop.
So, Roland Doe, he was about a teenager. He grew up in a German Lutheran household.
Okay.
He was an only child, so he had to rely on adults for his playmates, for the most part.
He didn't have friends?
You know, I relate to this guy. I mean, like, no more after this part, because I didn't get possessed as a child. That I know of.
I hope not.
So Roland Doe, he had his Aunt Harriet, and she was his, what you call it, gateway to the spiritual realm.
Hmm.
She was very spiritual.
She doing seances, playing with the Ouija board.
That's where I was going to next.
Goddamn Ouija board.
She introduced him to the Ouija board.
Let's just insert a little PSA here, people. Do not mess with Ouija boards.
And also don't watch the Ouija movies.
They were bad.
I mean, there was one that was all right.
I don't even remember.
That's the thing. I don't remember. I just remember watching it and was like, this one's fine.
One of them was like, okay, and then the other just sucked.
Most recent one we watched was, what, Ouija House?
Yeah, we didn't even finish it.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. And that had a Tara...
Tara Reid.
Yeah.
And her fucked up nipple. I'm sorry, Tara Reid. Every time I hear her name, that is what I think of.
I still haven't seen it.
I still have a picture.
But it was censored.
No,
which
I'm
is fine.
A nice
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, after...
That's fine.
Google it.
Okay. I believe you.
Anyways, go ahead.
Shout out to Tara Reid, who listens to our podcast regularly.
Hey, yo.
Okay. So anyway, Aunt Harriet.
Yes.
Yeah, so she died abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much on this probably because the Jesuits are kind of keeping this close to their chest here.
Okay.
Jesuits
are like a sect of Catholics, right?
Yeah, I believe they're French.
I don't know.
That sounds right.
Okay.
Anyways,
keep going.
Yeah, Jesuits are coming in. Anyway, so after her death, the family of Rolando was hearing strange noises in their house.
Okay.
Moving furniture, flying vases, things like that. And this was only when Roland was around.
That's not good.
It's not. So the family turned to a Lutheran pastor
named... As you do.
Miles Schultz. Now, this man was very involved or interested in parapsychology.
As one is?
Yeah. So...
What year is this again?
This was 1949.
Okay.
So, you know, things aren't quite happening yet. The world didn't start till the 90s. Ayo.
Ayo.
That millennial life. JK.
Excuse me.
This actually wasn't that long ago, so that's kind of... It's kind of weird. I mean...
I don't know. It seems long ago.
Anyway.
When you hear 40s, that sounds like a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know?
But this isn't like the 1800s or anything.
No.
But I'm recent-ish.
Yes.
Anyway. So since Pastor Schultz was interested, he decided to spend a night at their house to observe this. Now... The actual parapsychologist, J.B. Ryan, heard about this claim, and Schultz agreed, not agreed,
what
but...
What claim?
J.B. Ryan heard that Pastor Schultz was investigating Rolando's family and what's going on here.
Okay.
Pastor Schultz was very interested and was like, what's going on? And he vouched for everything that the family was seeing. He claims to have seen these moving furnitures and the flying vases and all that.
Okay.
J.B. Ryan, he was like, I think you're kind of full of it, but he listened. That's about all I have on J.B. Ryan, but there was a parapsychologist that was like, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
Anyway, Schultz advised the family to see a Catholic priest because he was like, you need an older priest and a younger priest to come in here and... out the ghost, or whatever the fuck's going on. So, in 1949, this is when the first exorcism happened. It happened at Georgetown University Hospital. Now, this was a Jesuit institution.
Not the first one ever, just the first one to this
The kid. First one to Rolando, sorry.
Okay.
So, during this exorcism, Roland actually slipped a hand out of one of the bed restraints. He broke a bed spring from the bed and slashed the priest.
Oof.
That was issuing the exorcism. Which actually stopped. They were like, I'm done. He just got a nice little gash to the arm. I was like, I'm done with that.
Can't say I blame him.
Between the first exorcism and the second exorcism, the family went down to St. Louis to get, a second opinion, as you do with doctors. But this time, for exorcists. In this time, there were... guttural voices coming from Roland, and this man, William Bowdern, heard this and was like, and went to the Catholic Church and got permission for this exorcism, because he was like, this is the real deal.
Didn't they already have permission to do an exorcism?
They did not the first time.
Okay.
But they got permission for the second one.
Okay.
So, this time... three priests were involved. This was Walter Hollerin, William von Rue, and William Bowdern, who was the one who heard the guttural voices. And they came down for the exorcism. So, number two happened at Alexian Brothers Hospital in Missouri. During this exorcism, the words evil, hell, and other markings appeared on roll.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... kind of like a few scenes in the actual movie Exorcist.
Right.
And probably the book. I didn't read the book.
I don't mean either.
I kind of want to, though.
What? Once you've seen the movie, do you really need to read the book? I'm just kidding.
It's a pretty good movie.
I'm just kidding.
And just like the movie, the mattress shook during this.
Okay.
Roland actually broke Priest Hollerin's nose.
Wow.
During this.
Why are they getting this close to him?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. Just get the like, oil. The power of Christ compels you. All that goodness.
Stay a solid 3 feet away.
Yeah.
And you're out of reach.
And tighten the bed restraints. Jesus, this already happened once. Now, that's the main thing I have for the actual exorcism. And allegedly, Roland had a normal life after the exorcism.
Okay.
The second exorcism was a success. He actually worked for NASA and retired.
That's interesting.
Right?
That he got into NASA after having been exorcised as a child. Interesting.
Right. So that is one of the stories that influenced William Peter Blatty to write the novel, which was later made into a movie for The Exorcist. So, about the actual movie, because that's also fucked up. The director, William Friedkin, he's insane. He would often fire guns just randomly on set to shock the actors.
Gotta keep them on their toes.
Exactly. He kept Reagan, who was the girl in the movie who got exorcised.
Yes.
In case you haven't seen the movie.
Go see it.
Yeah, in theaters near you. Probably if there's a Fathom event. You know those things? No, you don't know those things? They're called Fathom events. Like, they play, like, older movies.
I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, one of them. It's a thing.
Okay.
Like, bigger movie theater chains do Fathom events. Like, a lot of times it's, like, concerts, but sometimes they do older movies. And I think around Halloween they do The Exorcist.
Okay.
But they kept Reagan's room at about negative 30 to negative 40 degrees. Because during the exorcism, they had to see their breath.
Right.
But Friedkin was like...
Negative 30?
To negative 40.
That would kill you. Are you sure it's not just like 30 to 40?
No, I'm positive. Literally, sweat froze on some actors' faces.
Shit.
Yeah, they didn't keep them in there long, but yeah. And there was actually snow on set.
It doesn't have to be that cold for you to see people's breaths. That sounds excessive.
Don't you tell director William Friedkin how to write his movie.
That is excessive. He's lucky somebody didn't get frostbite.
I mean, sweat froze on their faces. I'm pretty sure they did have some form of frostbite.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, anyways.
So, number two, the original set for the house burned down. Have you heard about this?
No.
A pigeon flew into the, the circuit box? And the only room that was not touched was Reagan's room. I've seen pictures.
Ooh.
This is a thing.
Crazy.
Yeah, which part of me is like, I think the fact that they kept it that cold was like...
Yeah, that might have had something to do with
it. I think so.
Yeah.
But also, spooks. So for the famous scene of Father William O'Malley at the end, where he does the exorcism and he's all like shaking, there's a reason he's shaking. For one, he's actually a priest.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really an actor. Like, he just was like, hey.
Wait, the old guy?
Yeah, the old guy. He was actually a priest.
Weird.
He was like, do your thing, pretty much. But Friedkin went up to Father O'Malley and said, do you trust me? He said, yeah. And he slapped him in the face and said, go. And that's why he looks disheveled. So Friedkin is a fucking madman.
What an asshole.
Yeah, it's kind of like on the set of The Shining, how Shelley Duvall was treated. Like, making her do her scenes. Was that Kubrick? Yeah, it was Kubrick.
Yeah, I think Kubrick. It was Kubrick.
Yeah, he made him do it, her scenes, like, till, like, 4 in the morning. Yeah, shit like that. But, so we all know the famous puke scene.
Oh, yeah. Pea soup.
Yeah, it was actually Anderson's pea soup. They wanted to use Campbell's. I don't know why they switched. I don't know why they switched to Anderson's, but it's not just pea soup. They mixed it with oatmeal.
Gotta get that chunky consistency.
Now.
Delicious.
This was not the first shot. They had to do this multiple times. Because actress Eileen Peetz actually was in the scene. Not Linda Blair. You wanna know why? Linda Blair was like, yuck, vegetables.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Out of all the things that they had to do in this.
She was a teenager during this in her angsty phase. So, yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. But because, as you know, because you told me before researching this, that this scene had an apparatus underneath a mask to look like Reagan's face.
Yeah.
So another actress put it on. But Friedkin was like, I don't like that. So really, Linda Blair does the first half of the scene of going, huh! And then it cuts to the other scene of the puke coming out of the mask. So Eileen Peetz really doesn't have any screen time.
No.
But you see her puke.
Awesome.
Which also was supposed to go on Father Karras's chest, but it went on his face. That was one take. Father Karras looks disgusted, and that's because he was. Because he expected that to go on his chest, and it was a misfire. But they kept that part.
Well, yeah.
And then they spliced the two scenes together.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So, this is kind of fucked up, and Friedkin also had a hand in this. So the actress Mercedes McCambridge is the voice of the demon who possesses...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't she, like, chain smoke a whole bunch?
Yeah, so she had been an alcoholic and was sober for years. I want to say 10, but I don't have an actual number. But she was sober for a long time. And for this one role, she started chain smoking. She gave up her sobriety, and she ate raw eggs. Now, I don't know what raw eggs had to do with that.
Maybe it coated her throat.
Probably for the cigarettes.
To keep it from being too, like... Well, no, like, if you're making, like, a sound...
That would hurt.
That would hurt after a while.
I've tried to do the Pazuzu voice before. It hurts.
Yeah, it does hurt if you do it for too long. So maybe it had something to do with, like, the raw egg yolk, like, coating your throat or something. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But chain smoking does also not make you feel very good.
And chain smoking does give you that raspy voice, because I know a lot of, like, blues singers and Motown singers used to do that. They used to chain smoke before going on set. Give them that raspiness.
Damn.
Yeah. So she did that.
It's not that I have chain smoked. Not pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do get a little raspy every now and then.
You do get a little rasp.
I mean, I'm not quite demonic, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people know about this, but it's worth noting that Ellen Bernstein, I've been saying Bernstein for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Burstyn.
Okay.
There's no N there.
She burst into the scene.
And she bursted one of her backbones because of the scene where Reagan...
Where she gets thrown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, if you see the making of The Exorcist, there is a scene of the documentary. It actually happened. Ellen Burstyn said, "Don't fucking use that shot." And that's the shot that they used because she actually broke a fucking bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jack McGowan and Vasiliki Maleros, there's a reason why I have a hard time saying that. Jack McGowan played Burke Dennings. That was the actor friend of Ellen Burstyn's character.
Who was, like, trying to date her or something?
Yeah, that's that one, who died in the movie.
Okay.
And Vasiliki Maleros, that was Father Karras' mother, who also died in the movie.
Right, the little old Russian woman?
Yeah. So that's why I'm having a hard time saying the name. They both died in post-production. And they are two of, I believe, three characters who died in the actual movies. That's kind of spooky.
Ooh. I mean, she was old. You know what I mean?
I mean, Jack McGowan wasn't that old.
How old was he?
Like in his 50s.
What did he die from?
Like flu-like symptoms. Ugh. So he just kind of got sick and went...
But the old woman was old.
Yeah. That one makes sense.
Yeah.
That one makes sense. But it is spooky that she died in the movie, too.
I mean, she was old.
She was old.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Linda Blair also had a back injury from the scene where she's flopping around on the bed.
Ouch.
Because the harness broke. And once again, that was the scene where she got the back injury was the one that they used for the movie.
Well, you know, gotta keep it realistic.
So for some true crime in here... What was her first name? Mercedes McCambridge?
Mm-mm.
Her son actually did a murder-suicide during the filming of this movie.
Wait, which person was that again?
That was Pazuzu's voice, the demonic voice, woman who gave up sobriety. Her son murdered his wife and children.
Gotta hate those family annihilators.
Yes. And also, where was this guy? The guy who you were alluding to before, his name was Paul Bateson. He was the radiologist in the movie.
Yeah.
He was actually sentenced to 20 years to life in prison for second-degree murder.
Right.
He actually was released on parole after serving 24 years and 3 months.
I remember thinking that that was crazy.
Yeah, and it's really crazy knowing that and then watching the movie and just seeing him there. It's just, you get a weird chill down your spine in a movie that already gives you chills.
Right.
Or gives me chills.
Did he, how many people did he kill? Just one? I thought he killed a few people.
Yeah, it was multiple.
Was he a doctor in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually a radiologist. And then he got fired when he got, you know.
He was killing people.
Yeah, yeah, he started killing people. Yeah.
That's frowned upon, generally.
Especially in the medical profession.
Yeah.
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 So during the premiere of this movie in Rome, because this was like a blacklisted movie for the longest time in the 1970s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially overseas. I mean, in America, it was like, yeah, watch it. But overseas and in other countries, it was...
too risque.
It was kind of hard to watch. But in Rome, the night of the premiere, it was a downpour. And a lot of people were on record saying they heard a demon cry right before the movie started. I don't know if that was some shenanigans or some prank.
That sounds like shenanigans.
I don't know. Now, multiple people had passed out and had heart attacks during watching this movie. Now, I get it. Older people watching this movie like, whoa. But this one woman, she actually passed out and broke her jaw. Now, she sued Warner Brothers for this. Because, and her claim was she heard subliminal demonic messages, which caused her for injury. Now,
they're not very subliminal. I mean, there's, like, legit just demon talk.
That's what she claimed, but Warner Brothers settled for an undisclosed amount.
I want to know how much they paid her. Is it just, like, here, nuisance fees? Because, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, just like, pay for the medical fees or something?
Yeah, just, like, here's enough money for you to shut up and go away.
Well, I mean...
that's what I'm going for in some of my cases. Like, can you just give me the shut up and go away money? I'll take it. I don't want to do this anymore.
She broke her jaw, so she probably wasn't doing that much talking.
Hey!
And also, there were about 20 known cases, and I am doing air quotes with my eyes because I'm holding my notes, of women having miscarriages during.
How would you even know that? Like, how would you even know?
That I don't know.
Like, that makes no sense. Like, they literally just came home after the movie and was like, whoop, miscarriage. Because that, I don't really don't feel like that's how miscarriages work.
I don't know.
And, like, how early on, because miscarriages are actually incredibly common.
Right.
Yeah, like, in the first trimester, right after people get pregnant, they frequently miscarry.
Yeah.
So, is that what they were saying, or was this, like,
no, they're blaming it on the movie. They're blaming it on the movie.
I don't know. Some of that just seems like trumped up shenanigans.
I don't know. But that is what I have for the 1973 movie, The Exorcist.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Good job. Next time, do a true crime, though. I want more true crime.
Okay, I'll do some true crime.
True crime.
Well, I wanted to do a little bit of the paranormal and a little bit of... because I love this movie. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I know.
Especially horror movies. And, I thought it was pretty interesting for some of the shit that went on during production, post-production, the story that it actually came from. I don't know.
Good one.
All right.
I think that's pretty much everything. So you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at... okay, Instagram and Twitter are legends_liquor. Facebook is legendsandliquor. Our Gmail is legendsandliquor@gmail.com. So if you want to request a story or make a suggestion or tell us how awesome we are, feel free to email us there.
If you want, we'll read it on air. Just put it at the bottom because we don't want to call anybody out who doesn't want to be called out.
Right. Or you can go to our anchor.fm page and donate money. Please, pretty, please.
That would be nice.
We could buy some mics.
Yeah. Yay.
You could pay for our alcohol to review.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. You can donate a small amount, a big amount, whatever, one time, monthly, whatever. You can also go to our anchor.fm page and leave us voice messages, which we can then put into the podcast. So if you want to leave a message and say hi and you want to be famous and put on the air,
let your voice be heard,
then you can totally go there and do that.
Yeah, and definitely rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we are available on most podcast platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker,
Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Are we on iHeartRadio?
No, we're not on iHeartRadio.
Okay.
Now you're just making them up. Pocket Cast.
Yeah, Pocket Cast.
I had a list. I don't have it in front of me. A lot of them, though.
Find it.
Yeah.
And tell your friends.
Clearly, you've already found it if you're listening to this.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, and that they can find us on a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right, and I think that's all we've got for you today.
So remember to spade and neuter your pets.
Absolutely.